Hello and welcome to the Conversion Choreography Show. I'm Anna Iverson, a former figure skater and corporate refugee turned direct response copywriter who helps you create high converting marketing campaigns that turn lukewarm leads into obsessed mega fans. Join me as I walk you through the latest marketing strategies and persuasion techniques to help you make more sales and more impact in your online business. Ready to get started? Then let's dive in with the show. Hello and welcome to today's episode. Now, if you've been tuning in for the last few weeks, you might have noticed when you clicked on today's episode of the podcast that there have been a couple of changes around here. Notably, the first is that we have a new title for the podcast. It's now going to be known as the Conversion Choreography Show. The second big change is that you'll notice it's just me on me Todd. And that's not because Helen and I have had a huge ugly bust of after we got totally internet famous and both of our heads got too big to fit in the Zoom room where we recorded our podcast. In fact, it was because after recording the podcast for a couple of months, we came to a very important realization. And it was one that meant that we'd learned an absolute ton about creating this podcast, but it was also something that we couldn't have discovered without going on this journey together. And so for us, it's been the most amazing partnership over the last couple of months. But what we realized was that in actual fact, our ideal clients were not as similar as we thought they were. When we first set out to create the podcast, what we thought was that our ideal clients were both female entrepreneurs and that they wanted to start and grow their online businesses. But what we discovered was that actually our ideal clients were both at very different stages in their businesses. And it made it very difficult for us to find guests and to ask questions that would be relevant for both of our audiences. So instead of plugging away, trying to satisfy two different audiences and then creating a kind of confusing watered down messaging, what we decided to do was to separate our podcast in two. So I'm going to keep running this show under its new name with much more of a focus on conversion copy and marketing. And Helen is soon to be launching her own podcast called A Cup of Confidence, which is much more focused on the mindset side of things for people who are maybe thinking about starting a business, but they haven't done it yet. My focus is going to be much more on how to grow your business. So as you can see, that our ideal clients are at slightly different stages in their business. So with that in mind, I thought it would be quite apt for me to spend today's episode talking to you about your ideal client avatar. Now, I know a lot of people, if you've been running your business for a while, you probably think that you've done this avatar exercise before. You know everything there is to know about ideal clients. And you maybe don't want to listen to another training about ideal client avatars because, let's face it, everyone's always talking about ideal clients. What could I possibly say to you that you don't know already? Well, in actual fact, what I've found when I've worked with my clients is that most people are looking at their ideal client in the wrong way. And it tends to be a way that makes their messaging quite superficial, and they're really just scratching the surface, because what most people do with their ideal client is that they only look at lists of demographics or sort of physical or social characteristics about their ideal client without really digging into what's going underneath. And that is where you start to uncover the powerful messages that are really going to connect with your audience. So before we get started, and before we start talking about what actually is your ideal client, I want to talk a little bit about the main fears that people have when it comes to really drilling down and defining their ideal client. Because often what I find when clients work with me is that they'll say that they know their ideal client, but then when we actually sit down to talk about it, they start to get the fear and they start to tell me that actually they don't know who their ideal client is, because their ideal client could be one of three or four different people that they've worked with, and they don't want to alienate anybody. And this all boils down to this fear that if you talk to only one very specific person or personality profile, that you will then start to miss out on sales because you're alienating different people that maybe don't fit 100% into that profile. And so this stops people then from really getting deep and understanding this one specific person that they need to speak to. And it's really important that you do this, because without it, your messaging is not going to be powerful enough to connect with anybody. Now, if this is a fear that you've had, I want to give you an example from my own business. So there's this guy called Chris Orzechowski. A lot of people will have heard me talking about him before. He is this amazing email copywriter. He runs an email copywriting agency, and he also sells a number of courses, and he has a monthly subscription newsletter that he sends out every month. And it's absolutely brilliant. Now, Chris Orzechowski is actually an e-commerce writer. And so all of his email marketing, all of his training is geared towards business owners who sell e-commerce products. So you have a website, you're selling physical products, but I buy all of his products. I've bought everything that he sold. I've bought his courses, I've bought his newsletters, I've bought everything. I read all of his emails, even though I'm not his target audience. I still find his content really useful and really helpful. And so it just goes to show that I probably fit maybe 60% of the characteristics of Chris Orzechowski's ideal client avatar, but I will still buy all of his stuff because most of it is relevant to what I want. And a lot of what he teaches about e-commerce email is very applicable to the kind of clients that I work with. So I just give you that as an example to show why you don't need to worry that creating a really clear profile of the kind of people that you want to speak to doesn't necessarily mean that people aren't going to buy from you, because you're still going to resonate with people who don't 100% fit the characteristics that you consider for your ideal client avatar. Now, the second fear that many people have with their ideal client is that they might choose the wrong person. And that's absolutely fine. As with all of marketing, everything is an iterative process. It's all trial and error. And while it's frustrating, if you find that you have been speaking to the wrong person the whole time, it doesn't matter. You can always pivot. And that's the beauty of the internet. Everything is so fluid and so fast moving that as long as you make it clear that you've changed your avatar and your messaging flows along with your change, it's absolutely fine. You cannot expect to get this right the first time round. And I've got it wrong before. I was speaking to a completely different group of people before until I've nailed who I want to speak to. And I have no doubt in time that my own ideal client will change as my business shifts, as I learn new skills, as I get better and find new interests. My ideal client will also shift along with me as I grow my business. And so it's absolutely okay if that's the case for your business as well. And the third fear that many people have around finding their ideal client is, how do you know who to choose? Now, what I'm going to do is later on in this episode, I will walk you through a process to help you decide who your ideal client is, because often it's almost like a finger waving in the air kind of exercise. You just think, well, I quite fancy speaking to this group of people, so that's who I'm going to talk to. But actually, once you've been selling to clients and generating sales for a while in your business, you'll start to notice some patterns which you can use to direct you in choosing your ideal client avatar. Okay, so let's dive in and have a think about what an ideal client is not, first of all, because I want to help you identify if maybe this is what you've done with your ideal client in the past, because this might be the reason why your messaging isn't hitting home in quite the way that you want it to. So a lot of people, when they start off running their business, they're told to, and I remember from my own experience, when I started my own online business, I was told to write down a list of 100 characteristics of the type of person that I want to sell to. And these will be things like, how old are they? How many children do they have? Do they have a job or are they self-employed? What shops do they go to? What's their favorite food? What magazines do they read? What radio stations do they listen to? All of those kind of things. And while they're useful, what you end up creating there is just a list of demographics or characteristics, which don't go deep enough to help you really understand what's going on deep in the mind of your ideal client. And it's when you can drill right into the mind of your ideal client and really get a feel for what their emotions are when they're at the point where they're making a buying decision, that's when you're going to start to make an impact and make more sales. So although this method of listing out a load of demographics or characteristics tends to be the typical approach, I would suggest that you don't do that, because actually it's not serving you or your message. Now, the thing that comes along with doing your ideal client that way is that what you end up having is an ideal client that is almost like a mashup of several different people, or it becomes like a group of people. So then what happens is, if you're writing an email or a social media post or an advert, you end up sounding like you're addressing a room full of people. And one of the most important things when you're communicating to your audience is that they feel like you're having an intimate one-to-one conversation just with them. And that can be quite difficult if you're emailing your email list, for example, and you have maybe a few hundred or a few thousand people on there. The temptation can be to go into broadcast mode. So you start talking as if you're addressing a room full of 100 people. On this podcast, for example, I could come on and say, "Hi, everybody, how are you all doing?" But actually, when you're listening to me speaking, you are just hearing my voice one-on-one coming into your ears. And so as far as you're concerned, I'm talking to you one-on-one. And so it would just sound weird if I started going into broadcast mode and talking as if I'm addressing a room full of people. And that's absolutely fine if you're doing a live event and you are addressing a room full of people. It would sound weird if you were addressing people one-on-one. But in most of your marketing material, that is what you're trying to create. You're trying to imitate a one-on-one personalized conversation that you're having with one individual. So it's quite dangerous to think of your ideal client as a list of demographics, because then you're just thinking of people in a almost like a herd of clients, where what you really want to be doing is thinking of your ideal client as if they are one concrete individual and not a mashup of all different people kind of mushed together into this generic profile. The other thing that people often do with their ideal client is that they make up a kind of fantasy client. And maybe it's the fact that we call this an avatar that is the problem, because we think of an avatar as almost, you know, something that you create in a computer game. That's where you choose their hair and you choose their glasses and you choose their clothes, and then you've made this kind of fantasy character. But that's not what an ideal client is. Your ideal client needs to be an actual human being that you know in real life. And then the final thing that people often do wrong with their ideal client is that they consider them to be more than one person. Your ideal client cannot be more than one person. It can only be one person. You can't have more than one profile that you're trying to speak to, because it makes your messaging really weak and watered down. And I'll give you an example here. So a couple of weeks ago, I started working with a new client, and they sent me their webinar to have a listen to, and it was promoting a new training program that they have. And what I noticed when I was listening to this webinar was that they kept saying things like, "And this is for you, whether you're an absolute beginner or whether you're an expert and you've been doing this for years." And as a listener, I am left thinking, well, hang on a second, how can you sell me a program that is meant for a beginner and also somebody advanced, because our needs are going to be very different? So not only is this a problem in the marketing of your product, it's also a problem in the product creation, because you cannot create a product that is tailored to the exact needs of multiple different people. So what I said to them was, you need to decide, is this program meeting the needs of absolute beginners, or is it meeting the needs of people who are further down the line and they've been doing this for years? Because that's going to dictate the content of your program, and it's also going to make a really big difference with your marketing. So don't be tempted to try and reach four different people at once, unless, of course, you are at the scale where you have the bandwidth to segment your email list so that you're sending separate emails to each different personality profile, or that you're at the point where you can target ads to various different audiences. But I think for most of us, or most people who are listening to this podcast, you're still going to be at a stage where you don't have a massive team, so that you can't have the time to address multiple different avatars. So make sure that you choose one specific person that all of your messaging is going to be directed to. Now that you understand what an ideal client is not, I'm going to spend a little bit of time walking you through what an ideal client should be. An ideal client needs to be a real person. So somebody that you have worked with, or somebody that you would really like to work with, that you actually know in real life. So this person, the person that becomes your avatar, is somebody who best represents the type of people that you want to work with, who would be the most profitable for your business. So these are the people who are most likely to spend the most money on your product or services, because you can best meet their specific needs. And also, these are people that you most enjoy working with, because that's really important as well. So what personality types do you gel with the best? And the reason this is important is because ultimately, a lot of your business is going to come from referrals. It is much easier, in fact, 9 times easier to sell to a repeat customer than it is to attract a new one, although most of us spend our time marketing to attract new customers. The reason this is important when it comes to thinking about your ideal client is that when you're actually in delivery mode, so when you're providing whatever product or service you provide to your audience, the better you can serve them and the better you can meet their specific needs and the better results you can get for them because you are tailoring everything that you do exactly to them, the more likely they are to become a raving fan and to refer you to other people. And then you've got this whole machine of people going out and marketing your business for you because you've done such an amazing job of meeting their needs instead of trying to be mass market and appealing to everybody and kind of doing a bit of a mediocre job of it. Nobody, when they buy a product or service, wants to be either disappointed or just buy something that has kind of met their expectations. We all want to be wowed. So when you buy something, there's an implied promise in whatever marketing material we consume before we buy something. But actually what we really want is we want the person to over deliver. We want more than what's promised. We don't want to just get what was on offer. We want to get way more than that. And if you can be the service provider or the product seller who over delivers every time because what you're offering is so perfect for your ideal client, that's when people are more likely to refer you. And you can generate business then on autopilot. You don't have to do any marketing because your clients are going to be doing it for you. And it's much more powerful when a recommendation comes from somebody else than it is you standing up in front of your audience and telling them how brilliant you are, because obviously everybody thinks they're brilliant or everybody is going to say that they're brilliant. It's much more powerful when that message comes from a client who's worked with you and is going around telling everybody else how amazing you are. It's really important to think about the kind of people who you can get the best results for. And Dean Jackson actually has a really great way of looking at this. And what he says is, have a think about if you were only ever to get paid on results, so you didn't take any kind of upfront payment for your products or services, and you only got paid when people achieved a certain result after working with you, who would you work with? Because that's really important. When it comes to actually thinking about your ideal client, have a think about who is a single person, not multiple people. You remember, as I said, you can't focus on more than one type of person. So have a think about one single person who best represents the person that you most want to work with and who is the most profitable for your business. And what we really want to drill down into is much more than how old they are, how many children they have, where they live. But what we really want to know is what is the biggest fear that is driving your ideal client to look for your solution? And what is their biggest aspiration? What are they hoping to achieve? Because that's much more of an emotional thing than just understanding which shops they buy and which magazines they read. So when it comes time to actually start putting together your ideal client avatar, I want you to think about it from the perspective of where they are in terms of their problem and where they want to get to. So as I mentioned before, you want to start off by thinking about who is your most profitable or your most loyal or the client that you most enjoyed working with. So think about that from the point of view of people that you have already worked with. So who have you got particularly good results with? And the other thing that you can do is have a look through your sales figures and look at the top 5 highest lifetime value clients that you have served. Can you find any common characteristics between those people? You might want to ask yourself, do those people have a certain personality type? How long have they been trying to solve their problem? You know, some people might be just at the point where they're starting trying to solve their problem. So it's not become absolutely critical yet, but you're the type of person that comes in and helps them to make sure that they never encounter the crisis point in their problem. On the flip side of it, on the other end of the spectrum, you might be somebody that works really well with people who have hit absolute rock bottom and they need dragging out of that crisis, and then you're going to help them piece everything back together and start moving again. So those are 2 very different people. you've got somebody that doesn't have a massive problem. They know that this may become a problem in the future if they don't get it solved. And so they're looking for somebody to guide them so that they don't make any mistakes and they don't get it wrong. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people that are, they've already experienced the crisis that they were fearing. So have a think about that. How long have they been trying to solve their problem and where are they in relation to that problem? The other thing to think about is, have they tried any other solutions in the past? So are you the first service provider or product seller that they have come across when trying to solve their problem? And the reason it's important to understand this is that when they come across your marketing material, if this is somebody that has never tried a solution like yours before, you're going to have to educate them around why their problem is a problem, why your solution is the right one for them. But then if you're selling to somebody who has tried all of the solutions already, then they're going to be much more cynical and much more jaded, and they're going to have a lot more objections when you come to pitch them. So you have to prepare all your messaging with that in mind. So make sure you understand where are they? Are they somebody who is very well aware of what their problem is because they've tried to solve it a million times already in the past? Or are they somebody who hasn't really thought that much about the problem? And so you need to walk them step by step through diagnosing their own problem and understanding what the solutions are and how your solution can help them. Now, the next thing to think about is, what emotions are they encountering right now when it comes to their problem? So are they frustrated? Are they happy? Are they confused? So if you're somebody, for example, if you're a business owner and you think that maybe you want to learn how to use Instagram, but you're not sure where to start. So that's somebody that is not tearing their hair out about their problem. They're just curious and they want to know how to do it right and how to make sure that when they start, they get started on the right foot, versus somebody who's had an Instagram account for 5 years and they just can't seem to get any traction. They've bought a load of courses already. They're fed up of getting it wrong. They feel like they're wasting their time. That's somebody that's very frustrated and jaded, and they've just had enough, and this is the last chance they're going to give to solving this problem before they throw in the towel. So have a think about what emotions they're encountering right now. Then think about what their life looks like at the moment when they come to you. So what is their nightmare day in terms of their problem? So how does the problem present itself, and what impact does that have on the rest of their day? So again, if we use the Instagram example, it probably seems like quite a trivial problem that wouldn't have a massive impact on the rest of their life, but if this is something that's stopping them from growing their business and they've spent a ton of money on it, maybe it's causing arguments with their partner because their partner's telling them, you're wasting too much money on courses like this. We can't possibly spend another penny on buying another course because it's not going to work. And if you don't get your business off the ground, then that's it. You're going to have to go off and get a 9-to-5 job, which will be their absolute disaster. So have a think about how their problem is impacting the rest of their life and what that would look like if they were having their worst possible day ever. And then what I want you to think about is, what would their dream day look like? So if you were to come along and solve their problem, what kind of life are they hoping to build and achieve by working with you? And again, try and paint a really detailed picture in your mind of what that would look like. So once they've solved their problem, how is that going to help their business, their relationships, their life? How is that going to help them relate to their children? How is that going to help them serve their clients better? How is that going to help them be better at their job? Have a think, like really go deep into what your ideal client's life is like now. And just walk a mile in their shoes so that you can really understand how they're feeling and what emotions you need to talk to when you speak to your ideal client. Now, this probably feels like an awful lot of information, and you may be wondering where on earth you're going to find all of this information. And one of the best places to go is have a look on YouTube. So find an influencer who is in a similar niche to you and go onto their YouTube channel. And often if they have a big enough audience, when you watch the video, beneath the video, there's going to be a whole load of comments underneath. And when you start to read through those comments, you're going to see people being really open about their frustrations as it relates to their particular problem. That's going to start to give you an idea of the kind of language that they use to speak about their problem. It's going to give you an insight into how they're feeling, because often when people are watching these things, their emotional response is really visceral, anger and frustration. It all comes out because it's anonymous and nobody knows who they are and they can speak their mind. The other thing to look at is your own email inquiries. So what I do with my clients is if anybody sends me an inquiry email, we might exchange information backwards and forwards, and then I'll start to understand what their problems are, and I'll save all those emails and cut and paste where they've expressed what their problem is into a spreadsheet so that I have all of that information logged in one place. And then when I'm coming to write marketing material for my own business, I can then refer back to it. And these are the words that my clients have actually spoken to me to explain what their problems are and how that problem is showing up in their day-to-day life. So that is just a little bit of an exercise that you can go through to find your own ideal client and to really dig much deeper than just the usual demographic profiling that most people go through when they create their ideal client avatar. So I hope you found that useful. If you have any questions at all, do feel free to send me an email at anna@wordistry.co.uk, and I would be more than happy to chat to you about your ideal client avatar.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Conversion Choreography Show. If you did, then make sure you hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode on your favourite device. You can also subscribe to receive email updates direct to your inbox if you head over to my website at www.wordistry.co.uk.